You guys go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start there, Genesis chapter 1. As Pastor Rich said, my name is Ethan Bullock. My wife's name is Brianna Bullock. Most people refer to her as Bree. She is the children's ministry director on Sunday mornings. She is my Wonder Woman. Yeah, she is. Sometimes she's wonderful, and sometimes I'm just wondering what she's doing. And like I said the last service, I'm going to have to wonder what I'm going to have to fix myself from dinner later. But we have four lovely children. Our eldest one is Alani. She's serving in the children's ministry now. Next is EJ, and then Addison. Addison is Bree's mini-me. I mean, if you've seen them, you've seen Bree, then you see Addison, you're like, that's her child. Then our youngest one, the new addition to the family, she's 7 months old. Her name is Olive. But we love our children very much. And Pastor Rich said that I'm a life group leader. And as a life group leader, when I was asked to prepare a lesson for this Sunday morning, I was like, well, what do I go over? And I was like, well, I want to go over something that the Lord's been working on me in my life over the past couple months. And it's the things that I know I need to change in. It's the things that I know that I need to grow in and challenge myself to grow in my spiritual walk and take the character of Christ and put it into everything that I do. So my aim for this lesson is to answer three questions. I believe that these questions are foundational for every believer, and they help us understand the past, the present, as well as the future. And all of these questions revolve around our faithfulness and our faithfulness. The first question is, where does our faith come from? The second is who is the substance and the character of our faith? And the last one is why do we even exercise our faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So to answer these questions, we're going to look at Scripture. But before we get into God's word together, can you guys pray with me? Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, I'm just so thankful for, again, this opportunity to be able to preach your word today and just be able to express my heart and how we need to exercise faithfulness into everything that we do. Lord, I also this morning I've been able to see how the body of believers here at Crossroads have been exercising their faithfulness from the children's ministry, the volunteer workers over there, to the First Impressions ministry, to the deaf ministry, to the ushers, as well as the band and leading us in worship this morning. It's amazing to see how each part is to glorify you. None of them are small or greater than the other, but it's all to glorify you. And I'm just so thankful to be able to witness that this morning in my own life. Lord, I pray that you be with me again this morning as I present this lesson. In Jesus' name, amen. So you guys, you're already in Genesis chapter 1. We are going to look at verse 26. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says this, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now let's flip over one chapter into chapter 2. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7, which says this. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. So we see here that God created man and woman from the dust of the ground. He breathed life into him. So our first question would be, as believers, we must understand that our faith comes from God because he created us. In Genesis chapter 1, there's the 7 days of creation. And in Genesis chapter 2, it's like an inside look of what God did on day 6 when he created man and woman. But then when we get into chapter 3, at this time in Scripture, Adam and Eve are in the garden. And then Satan comes into play, who is the serpent, where he beguiled or tricked Eve into eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this tree, the fruit of this tree, was off limits to Adam and Eve because God commanded them not to eat it, and they ate it anyway, and that means they disobeyed God's commands. Before they ate it, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God created man and woman without sin. They were innocent before God. But when they disobeyed him, sin entered into their heart, and it is sin that separated them from God. And because of Adam, sin has reigned to all men. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And in Genesis 3, God passes judgment on Adam after they eat the fruit, passes judgment on Adam, on Eve, and on the serpent who beguiled Eve. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, where it says, this verse is God putting judgment on Satan himself. It says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel." This is talking about Christ, who is going to be born of a virgin birth. So in the MEV, it says her offspring. In the KJV, the King James Version, it says the seed of the woman, which is talking about Christ, who's going to be born of a virgin many, many years later. God, after sin had entered into the world through Adam, sets in motion a plan of salvation. Because sin separates us from God, and God longs for us to have a relationship with him, he made it possible. And this verse shows and is the start of God's plan of salvation, where he's going to have Christ come to the scene through a virgin birth. Now, at 8 years old, I decided that I was going to be a Christian. I said I was saved. I said I put my faith and trust in him. But to be honest, I really didn't understand what that meant for me. How I didn't understand what sin was. I didn't understand the plan of salvation. I knew my parents were Christian. I knew my older siblings were Christian. And so I just wanted to be like them. I want to be considered and liked like everyone else that I was a Christian. So I said, I put my faith and trust in him. But it really wasn't until I was 16 years old that I really started to understand what that meant for me. I began to understand what sin was in my life, to understand what the God's plan of salvation was for me. And my relationship with him, since I put my faith and trust in him, has increased ever since. But we see here in Genesis chapter 3 that the beginning of God's plan. Later in the book of Genesis, God calls out one man by the name of Abraham. And through Abraham, God was going to give him a land area and a nation so great that it was supposed to be considered as the stars of the heaven and as the sand of the seashore. And Abraham believed in the promise that God was going to give him. And in Genesis 15:6, it says that Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So because of Abraham's belief in the promise that God was going to give him, we now have what we know as the nation of Israel. And then God started dealing with Israel as a nation in the book of Exodus, and the majority of our Old Testament has to do with God and their relationship with the nation of Israel. But when God started dealing with them as a nation was in the book of Exodus, when Moses led the people of Israel out of Egypt, who were in bondage and in slavery in Egypt under Pharaoh. When Moses had led them into the wilderness, God gave Moses on Mount Sinai the law to separate them from the surrounding nations to serve the one true God. So Moses gave, through God, God gave Moses the law and the commandments. After Moses died, different leaders, prophets, and kings would lead the nation of Israel throughout the whole Testament. Some would obey his laws and commands, but some would not, and some would disobey God's and commands, and they would follow after the heathens, pagan gods of the surrounding nations around them. But God still kept his promise, and he was going to restore his relationship with man. So now let's turn to the New Testament in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. I'm way past it now. There we go. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 4. If you're there, go ahead and say amen. Amen. All right, thank you. So Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born from a woman, born under the law. So God waited for the right moment to send his son to die, to come to this earth, to be born of a woman, from what we saw in Genesis chapter 3, verse 3:15, and the judgment that he was passing to Satan was his, Christ was supposed to come through a virgin birth, born of a woman. And he was supposed to come through the nation of Israel that was under the law. In verse 4 of Galatians 4, it says that. And how God came, God had the right moment, under the right stipulations, of how he was going to send his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And while Christ was on this earth, he was on there for 33 years only to die for the sins of mankind. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this on the screen. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of sin. So God, who was created a sinless life, was to be sin for us so we can become righteousness. We can become righteous in him. And God is faithful in fulfilling his promises to restore the relationship with mankind. And we also have 1 Corinthians 15:21-22 says, For since death came by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we see Adam, who committed sin by disobeying God in the Garden of Eden, now Christ has come on the scene to give us resurrection life, to where we can be made alive in him. And that leads me to my next point, which is every believer must understand that Christ is the substance and the character of our faith. Christ died for the sins according to the scriptures, was buried and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, as 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says. I had the privilege of doing the cross and tomb scene at our walk to Bethlehem, and I am extremely excited that we're going to be doing it this year. Are you guys excited that we're bringing back Walk to Bethlehem? I am. And I know Cody's doing a good job of getting things started already. But when I did the cross and tomb scene, I was more focused on knowing my lines, speaking clearly. So I didn't realize how important it was about the story of Christ dying on the cross. I lost the importance of that when I was worried about what I needed to do to present it. But truly, the death, burial, and resurrection is the greatest story that we'll ever hear. It's the greatest story on earth. I read a biography on the first American Baptist missionary. His name was Adoniram Judson. He lived from 1788 to 1850 and spent about 40 years in the mission field. He went to a place called Burma, which is now called Myanmar. While he was in the mission field, he translated the Bible, numerous booklets and tracts, and even a dictionary into the Burmese language, which is a very big feat to be able to translate. But while he was there, he experienced much trial, much heartache, and much tribulation. When the people of Burma was in war with England, he ended up having to go to a death camp. Because he was a white man, they thought he was from England, but he wasn't. He was from America. They thought he was a spy, and they put him in this death camp and almost lost his life numerous times. But even while he was still in the mission field, he lost his wife and many of his children. After about 30 years in Burma, he returned and went back to the United States to raise support in conferences and in churches. But the people who were listening to him were getting disappointed about his message because they wanted to hear about what it was like to be in Burma. How did they dress? What was their language? Where did they live? What kind of homes were they in? What was the food like over there? And what was the weather? I know Pastor Rich talked about the weather this morning, but that's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know about what he did in Burma. But Adoniram Judson was talking to them about the reason why he was over there. And that was the story of Jesus Christ to come to this earth to die on the cross for their sins. And when we believe and have faith in what Scripture says about who Christ is and what he has done, for he was crucified on a cross, he was buried in a tomb, laid there for 3 days to resurrect from the dead, to only be seated on the throne in heaven. I have another verse on the screen, Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. So confession is made with our mouth that Christ is Lord. And with our heart is how we believe unto righteousness. That takes us from a sinner, lost, separated from God, to being saved and being identified in his son. I mentioned to you that at 16 is when I began to understand my relationship and how salvation meant to me. And a big person and a big representation of who Christ was in my life and me putting my faith and trust in him was my mom. Her name was Esther Lynn Bullock. She was a representative of Christ in my life. You see, she went to be with the Lord on July 24th, 2008. I was 15 at that time. I watched my mom battle cancer for 5 years, going back and forth to the hospital, having numerous chemo treatments, knowing she goes to the doctor's office, watching her lose her hair, watch her having trouble getting up in the morning because of the pain she was in. But even through it all, she sacrificed her own comfort to be mom to me and my siblings, and to be a wife to her husband. That year after my mom's passing, I dealt with very many emotions: grief, guilt, anger, and bitterness. And a lot of that was directed towards God. I bottled up those emotions because I didn't want anybody to see it. I wanted to be the tough guy. I wanted people to think that I wasn't hurting. But it was around the year of my mom's anniversary that I began to think back and to remember the things that she did in my life. She set an example. And all the things that she had done, how much she loved, how much she cared, and how much she sacrificed. And Christ did those same things for us, for all of mankind. And my mom decided to do that in her own home. Her faithfulness influenced my desire to know the Lord as my personal Savior. So instead of being identified in my trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, following after the lusts of my flesh, I am now considered and identified as a child of God, righteous, holy, and blameless. Are you saved? Are you considered a child of God? Are you considered righteous before him, holy, and blameless? The worship teams talk about a song, how the creation yearns and talks about how holy he is. That's a part of us too. We need to cry holy because we are holy in him. But if you are not saved, today could be your day. And from Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that confession is made with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So put your faith in Christ, in his death on the cross, the blood he shed for you, then him being buried and being raised from the dead to sit on the throne of heaven in intercession for you. Because your faith is in Christ, you have the spirit of him dwelling within you. That is the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit living within us now. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we should live this out. It's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. There's no requirement or rules on why we need to do these things. We should do them because Christ lives within us, and we have the necessary resources to do so. There's also another passage about the fruit of the Spirit in Ephesians 5, verse 9, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So because our state is different from sinner to saved, we can live differently, and we can live for Him in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So knowing that, every believer must understand that we exercise our faith for the reward we will one day receive in heaven. Now, you've probably been wondering why you've been given a blank piece of paper this whole time. And so, with this blank piece of paper, I want us to do an illustration together. Many times, we, in the children's ministry, when I'm with Bree in the children's ministry, I do game time when we do things with the kids and we get them involved about how the lesson works together. Well, today I want us to do something simple, something similar. We're going to do an illustration together. I want you to take your blank piece of paper, if you have a spare piece of paper, and I want you to make your best paper airplane. Some of you, I'm assuming that you guys are very talented at making a paper airplane. I want you to make your best one as I do mine. And I talked to somebody in between services. They said that they hadn't made a paper airplane in so long that they forgot how, and it racked their brain to how they needed to remember how to make a paper airplane, something so simple. But a couple months ago, Bree and I took the kids to the Orlando Science Center, and they had a room in there that had like the ability to make three different styles of paper airplanes. I made them. And EJ and Addison, they would grab them and take off and throw them as far as they could. I'm not doing too good this time. But let's see. Oops, my OCD's kicking in. My lines are off. But paper airplanes are fun. I guess you probably thought y'all weren't doing anything today. Just going to sit there. Y'all are getting involved. So if you have made your paper airplane, I was asked to make sure you guys in the balcony do not throw it off of the balcony. So y'all hold on to your paper airplane. Somebody wanted to throw it at me last service and said, I wanted to hit you. But if you have made your paper airplane, let me see. Let's all look up and see who's got, see all the different type of paper airplanes. So there's some good ones. Rob's got a good one over here. It ain't going to fly. It'll fly. You can put them down. But see, we make it something simple. So you made a paper airplane out of a simple piece of paper. When we make a paper airplane, we expect it to fly, and we expect it to soar. From what we've already looked at today, God created man out of the dust of the ground and breathed life into him. So God expects us to soar. God expects us to be faithful to his promises. He was faithful to us on waiting for the right time for Christ to come to die on the cross for us. Now it's time, with the Holy Spirit within us, to live like him. He's given us the necessary resources. We just looked at that. We have the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience. God expects us to exercise our faithfulness in him. He's given us the necessary resources to do so. But the question is, are you? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have been created for good works. We should walk worthy in the Lord, pleasing all and increasing in the knowledge of God. But again, the question is, are you? Raise your hand if you ever get busy. You ever get busy? Anybody ever get busy? Raise your hand if you ever get tired. Anybody of y'all get tired? We have a 7-month-old, so Bree's normally tired more than me. Raise your hand if you ever go through trials. What about if you ever experience hurt? Yeah. But you know what? Life in and of itself does not care what state you're in. You can be happy or you can be going through much pain. Life does not care. God still wants you to exercise your faithfulness in the Lord. So as a student, are you separating yourself from ungodliness? Or is the temptation of the world too great and you fall into it? As a husband, are you unconditionally loving your wife Or is your love conditional and has stipulations? As a wife, do you respect your husband and the authority he has as being the head of the household? Or do you undermine him? As a father, are you spending quality time with your children to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? Or is your job and your hobby keeping you away from doing those things? What about as a mother? As a mother, are you teaching your children patience, to grow in patience? Or do you give them what they want so they'll be quiet and so you can do what you want to do? What about a grandparent? Are you being an influence and supporting your children and your grandchildren? Or would you have nothing to do with them and never reach out? A person may struggle with anxiety. Are you going to stay paralyzed by it? Or are you going to take the time and seek help and find victory? As a believer, are you being faithful in reading and studying God's word, or are you procrastinating? Are you putting it off till tomorrow? Are you exercising your faithfulness by serving him? Are you doing it in a church? Are you doing it in your community? Are you doing it in your own home? Are you praying consistently? The Bible says we pray without ceasing. Are you representing the light of Christ that is in you, which is the Holy Spirit? Are you being faithful to God, knowing that God is faithful to you? One day, every believer will be judged by Christ by the works that they do. This is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. Here is where you will or will not receive a reward in heaven. So let's go from Galatians. Let's turn two books to the left to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 11. Verse 11. If you've got there, go ahead and say amen. Amen. All right. Let's go. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay another foundation that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, each one's work will be revealed. For the day will declare, which is the judgment seat of Christ, will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If anyone's work which he has built on the foundation endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, still going through the fire. So our work in the Lord and our faithfulness is either going to be gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble on the foundation that Christ has laid. And it's going to be tried by fire. But it doesn't talk about, well, this is what I personally believe, is that our work in the Lord has a lot to do with our attitude and has to do with our mindset. It's where our heart is behind the work that we do. It's not just what we do, but our heart attitude behind it and how we do it. It says in the Webster's 1828 dictionary that obedience can be voluntary or involuntary, but voluntary obedience alone can be acceptable to God. So that means I can serve here at church and be bitter about it. I could do it with, like, gritting my teeth. I can do things for my wife and not truly love her. I can prepare a lesson for life groups, or I can prepare a lesson on Sunday morning service, and I could do it out of pridefulness, and I could do it for me and not for my Savior. So I may be doing things for the Lord, but not out of obedience and not with the right heart attitude. This passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 doesn't say you have to, it doesn't talk about a position. It doesn't say you have to be a pastor. It doesn't say you have to be a missionary, a deacon, or a life group leader. He just wants you to exercise your faithfulness. My mom exercised her faithfulness in her own home And she was a representative of Christ in my life. Where are you now? Are you exercising faithfulness where you are? Because when you become a believer, you are a representative of Christ. And wherever you are, and whatever status you may be in, you can work for him out of obedience, but more so with the heart attitude of love. So in conclusion, as believers, you have the Holy Spirit within you. Because of what Christ did for you on that cross, knowing that he shed his blood for you, that he was buried in a tomb, and that he rose from the dead, that was a part of God's plan of salvation, which we saw starting in Genesis 3:15, shortly after man separated himself from God's relationship. So we answered the three questions. We exercise our faithfulness in the Spirit because Christ is the substance and the character of our faith, and God himself is the author of our faith. So you bow your heads and pray with me now?